Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ramble.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Each week we talk about some of our favorite Guilty Pleasures movies and TV shows, and we are joined by some of our favorite and funniest friends to join in on the fun. Today we are talking about the Technicolor dreamscape that is the Wachowski Speed Racer. I'm Zach Kornfeld, joined by Garrick Bernard and Kelsey Dara. How y'all feeling
today?
I am the Speed Racer. In solidarity with Garrick's neck brace, I am also wearing one, but it is hot, so I'm going to take it off. Rick, I'm sorry. I love you. I did it for 5 minutes.
Oh, goddamn it.
Oh, it's so hot in there. How do you do that?
We're all dressed up in our favorite Speed Racer garb, but also, Garrick, we should probably mention you're rocking a neck brace today.
Yes, I am. I'm in a neck brace. I had a cervical fusion from my C3 to C5 disc. Because I was missing my C4, the right side of it. So
casual.
There you go. Had a lot of back pain for 10 years, and a friend of mine was just like, hey, you shouldn't have that. You should probably go to the doctor, you fucking idiot. And then I went and I had an X-ray, and they're like, yeah, dog, you're missing this huge chunk of your spine. You should probably go to the hospital.
You're a medical miracle.
They were like, this doesn't make sense. This is the first time I've ever seen this in my life. You need to go to a specialist.
And I immediately.
And I just had my surgery last week. So
you were on Monday. I imagine heavy painkillers watching this movie, which must have been a trip.
Heavy painkillers, all of them very motion inducing. So I am sick to my stomach.
Oh, God.
I am sick. Still love the movie, though, but I am sick. I definitely had to take a break. I think most people watching this movie or who have watched this movie, there should be an intermission for your own safety.
Because you mean the movie is 2 hours and 20
minutes
long?
It's 2 hours long. It's 2 hours long. There should be
220.
Yeah.
220.
I truly can't think of a worse movie to watch in a neck brace than what we just put you through. Well, let's not delay another minute. The man joining us today, bringing this movie, our very special guest, dear friend, you know him from Watcher Entertainment, Shane Madej. Hey, Shane.
Shane. This is exciting to talk about this film in a formal setting.
Anything but. If you came for formality, I have bad news for you, Shane. This next hour is going to be a shit show. And I'm not just saying that because Rick is on painkillers and I've got outfit changes.
I didn't know we were all dressing up, actually. I did not realize. Otherwise, I would have worn bandages all over my face.
We didn't plan it.
Been in a terrible crash.
Oh, wow. You really do have outfit changes. This is Kelsey's third look in 2 minutes.
Wow. You're now wearing my hat. Very impressive.
Truly very inspired by this film. And I already told the boys this, Shane, before you signed on. I would not have stuck with this movie. It is trash in the first 10 minutes. I know we're not like into that yet. I'm sorry, Zach. I would have not stuck with this movie had I not known you loved it and were the one recommending it. Because I was like, why would I stay here? I love it. And I am the Speed Racer.
Right. Okay, one of the first things I found out about Shane is that he loved Speed Racer so much.
You tweet about it all the time, and it's something that, like, it is a shared passion, though. I cannot claim that I love it nearly as much as you. But you wear this film like a badge, sir.
Yeah. I feel like only recently the conversation has changed a little bit in the past few years of people, all us speedheads coming out.
That's a drug addict.
No. We're crawling out and seeing the light of day. I remember there was a while ago, a couple years ago, I still remember it vividly when it was trending on Twitter. And I thought, well, this is a moment. You know, it was really nice to see people celebrating it. But
I remember that day too.
It was really nice.
This movie came out in 2008, and it was what? Ahead of its time.
Wait.
This movie came out in 2008. Yeah. It's still ahead of its time. It's going to take 100 years for film history to catch up to this movie.
I would have guessed that this came out this year, like last year. This movie was so future. Are you fucking kidding me?
2008.
This came out in 2008? That's when I graduated high school.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
This is literally every Marvel movie now. It's just this... bunch of people in a green screen dome and then them pretending and shit. And then there you have it. But everybody's like, oh, it's too much CGI and blah, blah, blah. There's so much effects. And it's like, shut up. That's what you have now. Congratulations. Speed Racer paved a way for you.
I had no idea. That's shocking.
It paved so many ways. Well, let me hit us with the synopsis. If ever a movie could not be captured on paper, it is this one, but I will try. Speed Racer follows Emil Hirsch as... Speed Racer, yes, that is his birth name, a gifted racing prodigy born into a family of racers. But when we're talking about racing, it's not racing. We're talking about anime racing. This is a movie where cars jump, they have guns built into them, they fly through the air, claw arms, spike tires, homing missiles, slime cannons, spear hooks.
You be careful when you... toss that allegation around, sir.
When Speed rejects a sponsorship from Royalton Industries, it erupts in a war as Speed takes on the cross-country race that killed his older brother, Rex. Teaming up with the mysterious Racer X, and with a little help from his wacky family and their pet chimpanzee, Speed Racer is gonna drive fast, defeat corruption, and maybe, just maybe, change racing forever. Speed Racer.
That's an incredible synopsis of like basically saying nothing about this movie because you really can't.
It doesn't.
You can't put it into words. It's like Burning Man. You just have to experience it, the acid trip that it is. And I realized why. At first I was pissed because I was like, oh, another fucking boy movie we're doing. But then I was like, what is gender? And then I was also like, I see why they picked this because it's Fast and Furious with Willy Wonka.
Literally dialed to 74. Not even, you have a dial up to 10 and then you just keep on turning it.
Someone took acid and made this. And I have to say, I am still quaking over the fact that it was made in 2008 because I thought only someone so advanced and futuristic could think to shoot an entire movie on a green screen and make it that believable. Is this based on a video game?
Are you based off of an anime? Kelsey?
Are you
How
not?
How dare you? Shane, jump
anime
in.
Speed Racer.
Okay, so this is actually a good segue because I'll say right off the bat, Kelsey, it's based on a TV show, an anime. Oh. It was actually, I guess it would be considered one of the first sort of successfully ported animes to U.S. States. Audiences.
Yeah, I think so.
And I was not a Speed Racer fan growing up. Really didn't. Watch us. Sorry, Speedhead. Thank you. That was a test. Thank you.
It was ahead of our time for sure.
And even when the movie came out, and I'll say this outright, I did not see it in theaters. I know this is my grave sin. I was working.
You're a converted Speedhead. You're a born again Speedhead.
It's one of the greatest regrets of my life.
It's literally what they call me in NA.
You know what? Okay, Shane, to that point, I think that people are coming around to the movie because they can see it on a smaller screen and take in all of the wonder. Because I do believe if you saw this on a big screen, you might die.
You would die.
You would die.
You would die, and then you'd be there eating hot dogs or whatever, and it's just coming out of your eyes and coming out of your nose because you're so sick of yourself.
And Zach, you did see it in theaters, if I'm not mistaken, but I would at least like to say, I want to hear your report from the trenches, but I will say I was working at, for some reason, I thought it was a good idea to get a job at my favorite multiplex.
Oh, and nice.
I was working there when it came out. And it came out on Easter. And I happened to be working on Easter. And
because you're Jewish.
Easter. as Easter at movie theaters is weird because you get like tons of families. They're all buying, you know, $185 worth of food. I just wanted to be as far away from the theater as I could. And I had other things on my mind. 2008 is the year of WALL-E. It's the year of The Dark Knight. these were important things to me. Whoa. It was a big year for cinema.
What a year for cinema.
God damn.
So I didn't have my finger on the pulse. I regret it. And I think I first saw it when I got my PS3 because it had like a... Did the PS3 or PS4 have a Blu-ray player? I don't remember. Whichever PlayStation.
Blu-ray? What's that?
It was the first Blu-ray I bought. And I put it on the screen and I was like, holy moly, the Warner Brothers logo looks crazy.
Yeah. To be fair, like if you aren't into Speed Racer at all or like the show, why would you? Why would you come for, you know, pay money and say like, no, I want to watch this thing on a huge screen.
Yeah.
No, you'd probably just
three words. Dark Knight or, the Wachowski sisters. Vision motherfucking Aries. All right. Yeah. You sign up for whatever they're laying down. They just drop hits. Even if they're even their misses are just audacious beyond comprehension.
They're also coming off of killing Neo, so everybody hated them at that point. They're like, oh,
what is killing
fuck
Neo?
You, fuck off. From
these are the directors of The Matrix, Kelsey.
Oh, no. I truly can't think of something that gives me more anxiety than the fucking Matrix.
So selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I had the pleasure of seeing this in theaters. I used to go to the Tribeca Film Festival every single year, and this had a premiere at the film festival, and so I at like what age 12 or whatever, however old I I was in high school. I had the pleasure of seeing this in theaters. I used to go to the Tribeca Film Festival every single year, and this had a premiere at the film festival, and so I at like what age 12 or whatever, however old I I was in high school. What year did this come out?
2008.
Yeah, okay. I was 18 years old.
You were graduating.
Truly, like, never had more adrenaline coming out of a theater. The most reckless driving I've ever done driving home that night. probably a hazard to myself and everyone around me. But Shane, when you did discover this movie, what about it speaks to you? Why do you love it?
Or speeds to you?
I mean, the caveat here is that I do not consider this a guilty pleasure at all. I don't know if that's going to be a running theme. I don't know if that's going to be a running theme with the people who come on your show.
Yeah.
I recognize that there is probably some issue with the first act or so. I realize there's a bit of a hurdle there. But I think to consider this a guilty pleasure is to deny that it's a masterpiece. and I'm not saying that like as a joke. I do think this is one of the best films.
Wow.
And that's the end of my sentence.
oh, damn.
I love it. I mean, look, this movie, it was a box office flop. It has very divisive reviews, but there's something about it that's held on. So let's dive into the pleasures. Let's just go for it. You want to kick us off, Shane?
Yeah. I'll start off with the thing that grabs me every single time I watch it. I mean, this is, I'm blowing past like just the pure visual artistry of it. And and I'm going to point my finger over to John Goodman and Susan Sarandon, who are giving career best performances in this thing.
They really are so good in this.
I don't know if they told them they were in a different film, but the fact that they take it so seriously and are so earnest in the way they're approaching the material.
John Goodman doesn't like acting. And he just does. He just does it. He's just like, yeah, this is a check. All right, I'll just put my all in and be the father that you never had. It doesn't matter for every role.
I literally wrote, I want him to be my dad. That is a real sentence that I. No offense to my dad. I got a great dad. But John Goodman's better.
What I heard is your dad sucks.
That shot where that scene where the ninja bumps into him, and there's like this quick shot of the wrestling ring, and then they're just like, oh shit, just about to go down, and he's just like, what are you doing to my sons or whatever, and he flips them. I'm like, yeah, man. Why doesn't my dad have a wrestling championship?
And what does he say when he flips them?
Fuck if I know.
This is a pop quiz. We did not study.
He says more like. More like Nanja.
Nanja! Wait, is that that moment? Because I did write that down as my, I did write that down as a pleasure, was that the best worst joke was Ninja, Nanja.
More like Nanja. Yeah,
more like Nanja. More like is Nanja, this what
which
passes
doesn't even
for
fucking
ninja
make sense.
If you say it like a mantra, just say it until it loses all meaning and burrows itself in your mind.
Ninja, Nanja, mantra.
There is a real grounding, though, with that family. Like, I feel their love. I care for them. I feel the care they have for each other. And for a movie that is as balls-to-the-wall crazy as this one is, you got the heart.
Yeah, there's some exchanges between him and his son, who is named Speed Racer.
Because he loved racing so much.
That, like, hit me. Do you remember in Call Me By Your Name, which is like, you know, Stuhlbarg is just sort of like trucking along through the whole movie. And you're like, hey, Michael Stuhlbarg playing a dad. Sure.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he sits down with them and just has that like beautiful thing that just like tears your guts out.
The best scene in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is better than that.
I think perhaps
because it's so unexpected in this film for these scenes to be so endearing, but god damn is John Goodman just going for it. And so again, same with Susan.
I mean, was she really given that much to work with? Question mark. I'm gonna keep raising my voice for all the women.
Kelsey, stop. You're gonna ruin your cords.
fucking first the speakers.
No, they weren't given much. They were given enough.
They don't drive, they're driven.
Exactly, yes.
That quote, I think I'm gonna get tattooed on my body somewhere, which is another quote that not John Goodman says, but the guy from Lost, whose name is not Matthew McConaughey, I found out. It's Matthew Lost. Man, and I will say that he is fine as fuck, and that was a nice little reveal ski. I will save the ending for some guilt, but can I just say, in the beginning, we've got to talk about how the world is introduced. I mean,
you mean the most balls to the wall opening 12 minutes in cinema history?
My God.
Yeah.
I've never been so confused in my fucking life. Again, like I said, I was angry at first. But I sat with it, and as soon as that saturation scalded my eyeballs, as soon as he went outside, I realized I had no fucking clue what I was in for. I had no idea.
It's very unapologetic.
To say that this movie is saturated, I think it's an insult to saturation.
Yeah, it's an understatement. One time while playing Nintendo 64's Mario Kart, when I was like in third grade, the saturation blew while we were playing Rainbow Road.
It is not
as close.
That was your first time tripping
saturated.
On DMT.
Yeah, not as saturated as this movie was. It was like pales in comparison.
I did feel like I was on cocaine again. I realized I don't need to go back to coke. I can just watch this movie and feel fulfilled.
I mean, it is a candy-colored, vibrant, saturated dreamscape, and the movie begins with baby Speed. He's this little boy in school. He can't concentrate on anything except for racing, and the world starts to warp behind him, and you realize that this entire movie is going to be filmed on a green screen with different layers. Shane, do you even know how they did it? It's so cool and specific looking.
It's been a while since I watched the behind the scenes of it, but they, you know,
surprising.
There's several. I mean, there's definitely cuts in the movie, but they really play up sort of having stuff just overlap and just creating this like ever shifting sort of parallax effect with a lot of stuff.
Ooh, nice word.
It's all I do in any series I make graphics wise. So I'm familiar with parallaxing.
The big GFX language.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, like, you're talking about something very important to point out in this movie, that it is completely told like a memory where it's a lot of someone talking, it going into this crazy world, right. And you're like, is this a dream? Is this reality? Is this actually happening? Like, you cannot be folding laundry and watching this movie like I was. No. Because you will get fucking lost. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't take my Adderall.
But to that end, I think it also like takes advantage of the medium in a way that a lot of movies don't. Not that every movie has to be like this insane sort of ever-shifting trip.
No.
But,
oh, God, no.
You know, if movies are there to emulate our dreams, then this is maybe the closest I've ever seen. Because that's what I see every single night when I close my eyes.
Jesus, this blew Inception out of the fucking water.
Another thing on how it is visually filmed, because they are layering, so they filmed everything in HD, and they're layering a foreground shot, then they also go film the background shot and layer that, so everything is in focus. There's no, there are shots of the movie where you're not used to that as a moviegoer. The foreground, the background, the little bumblebee flying away, everything is sharp and it's so crazy looking.
Yeah, but that's that's like cartoons though. That's what, there isn't anything out of focus or in focus, and there is a lot of like parallaxing in cartoons. It's just like a character with a BG looping behind them the whole time.
Flooping?
Looping.
Oh. I was like, painkillers are kicking in.
Garrick, were you, Garrick or Zach, because I know Kelsey is with me on this one terms of not having watched the series. Did you guys watch the series growing up? Or were you fans of it?
I watched like a couple episodes just because it had cars in it, but I wasn't super huge fan of it.
Interesting.
I watched a little bit of Speed Racer. I watched a ton of Wacky Racers. Do you remember that Hanna-Barbera cartoon? Yeah. That's actually one of my pleasures of this movie, is it reminded me of those, like, it really took the spirit of those cartoons from the 60s, and you have, like, the goofy themed racers. There's, like, the Snake Team, and the Viking team, and the Fast 60s and chicks.
I'm not gonna lie, I fully thought we were watching Ford v Ferrari for, like, the past week when you said we were watching Speed Racer. My mind, because I knew Amelia Hirsch, or whatever the fuck his name is, isn't it? And I was like, when I think of Emily Hirsch,
you put some respect on his name.
I don't know how to fucking say it, or else I would. Emily Hirsch.
Your nail.
Whatever.
Emil. Sorry.
Oh, Emil. Emil Hirsch.
Emil.
Emil. He seems like he would be in Ford v Ferrari, and like the outfit that he's wearing in the poster. I truly thought we were watching a different movie, and then when I turned it on, I was so pleasantly surprised to see and like I think I'm still stuck on it being made in 2008 because this was a wonder in terms of bringing a cartoon to the big screen in a graphic way that I truly didn't know we had the technology back then to do this.
I think they did The Matrix and they were just like, well, let's see how far we can push this. You know, we had Neo fighting 100 guys at once and we had him fighting fucking robots and all of this stuff and like in a landscape and not a wasted landscape or whatever. And they're just like, yeah, let's just go for it. Fuck it. Why not? Like, what's the next IP that we can get? And they said Speed Racer and just like, okay, let's everything saturated. Everything is dialed up to 11 and so on and so forth.
We're all struggling to put this into words, but I think some ways that if you haven't seen this movie to picture it, what Sharkboy and Lava Girl thought they were doing, right? Yes. Like that kind of look. And if you've seen the BTS music video for Idol, where it's super candy colored, people are multiplying. You have even just normal dialogue scenes. You'll have actors clearly in spinny chairs and they are kind of just being pushed left and right. and the lights are going wom 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 wom. Nothing is normal. They refuse to let you rest for a minute, and it is exhausting and exhilarating. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you can't look away from this, which I'm ultimately glad that I sat down and actually tried to watch it, because I was trying to fold laundry and I couldn't fucking pay attention. But what I did appreciate about this movie is it really is made for everyone. You could tell they geared it clearly towards the young, you know, fans of the the cartoon that, you know, I know all of those characters are probably in the cartoon that I wouldn't have ever known, or, you know, the music or the outfits are probably well known to those characters. But I did feel like they included, you know, the very little brother whose name is Sprinkle. What is it?
His name is Spritle.
Spritle.
Squirtle? He's squirting.
I thought it was Spurtle, but it's Spritle.
Okay.
Sorry.
Whatever the fuck you guys just said, I like that they include that little kid who literally is represented as doing monkey business with a pet monkey, which is like fun for the kids. Then you've got like
Chim Chim,
who's clearly the writers were very busy that day and named him Chim Chim. And you've got the like teenage love story. Then you've got this horrific death in the family, which is like, whoa, just there for the parents. And then you've also got the business angle, which is like talking about
stocks. White collar crime.
White collar crime.
Where
yeah,
you're
like
this was made for everyone.
Yeah,
kids don't know what stocks are.
Such a crazy like angle to take. Racing, where it's just like, yeah, at the end of the day, it's all about funding and how much funding you can.
Ford v Ferrari happening right outside your window.
Garrick, a speed racer pulled up to your house.
Yeah, I gotta
go.
Let me just take this off. No,
okay. Kelsey's hitting us with her fifth outfit change.
Yes,
but okay, so this is a pleasure theory of mine, right? Or I just like
pleasure theory.
Yeah, I just like thinking.
I like the sound of that.
Tell me,
I just like thinking that this might have been the case. So, this movie gave me motion sickness. Like, just straight up, not gonna lie, motion sickness. I was like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot I'm focusing on. Mm-hmm. And I'm going. My eyes are fucking darting, and I'm sick. I'm also on narcotics, so whatever. But
that would explain.
But. The motion sickness that you would get from driving a car as quickly as they are is akin to what I felt, you know, like I've been in cars on tracks or whatever, and they're pushing like 2-3 G's, and you get out of that car and you're like, oh fuck, I need to sit down for a second. It's like when most drivers that I have heard of or anything like that, they don't eat much before races. They'll like drink and all that stuff. They'll just drink water and liquid stuff because they don't want to throw up. So this is making me believe that the Wachowskis got in a car and they're just like with a professional race car driver, and they're like, hey, just gun it. Just go around this track as fast as you fucking can. And then they got out and they're like, we need to inject whatever that feeling was into this movie. Yeah. And then they did it a little too well. You know,
that's like that scene in Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah.
Saw it.
I think that's a feature, not a bug. I think that
I've seen Fast and Furious enough time to cover all of my race car movies for the rest of my lifetime until I saw Speed Racer. And I was like, I didn't know what I was missing. I thought
Here's
I had
a thing
it all.
That a thing that I genuinely believe is that this movie by the Wachowskis is every bit as groundbreaking as The Matrix. It just broke too much ground. Like, I think that the way that cinema evolved from The Matrix, this just went further than anyone was ready for. And frankly, maybe further than anyone ever will be ready for.
Oh, it had a lot. It had a lot. And our attention spans right now with like TikTok and everything happening, I feel like it's getting quicker and quicker. So maybe, you know, we re-release this. Shane, what are you thinking? Like, is this a cult classic?
I feel like it caters to that, though, because every single scene is just like,
there's
no reason to look away.
Yeah.
It's never like drab or even when they're like sitting around their house, it's lit gorgeously.
Gorgeous. Can we give a shout out to the production designer and costumes?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was one of my top notes was like, again, I was trying to fold laundry. I don't know how many times I need to tell you guys that I had like a fuck ton of laundry to fold today. But like I'd look down and it would be a race. And then I'd look up and it would be an office. And I'm like, wait, where did let me rewind. And then I realized the office is the semi truck. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
They've got a plane that has a glass bottom. I was like, why don't we have that? Why don't we have that? I'm actually asking.
Not in the future yet. We got to get there. It sucks that this was taken to town, or taken, whatever that term is. I'm sorry. I don't know idioms.
Taken to
task?
Taken out to pasture?
Taking to town sounds fun.
Taking to town.
I'll take it to town.
I hate that they took the piss out of this movie so hard.
That was not what you said.
Taking the Mickey out of it.
I'm switching out. I'm switching off into some British
shit. Painkillers.
Painkillers are hitting. Oh my God. Anyway, I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. But
you're doing so good.
300 is the same movie. It's the same. It's the same shit. Yeah. The same like super CGI.
But worse.
Shit. Just worse and slower. And that got way higher praise. It got a sequel. Zack Snyder's doing so much shit.
Can I also talk about the music as a pleasure? There's something that like, okay, thank
there
you.
It is.
There's something about like theme park music, anything that's like Disney-ish sounding, or like Islands of Adventure, Universal Studios walking through the park noise. And this like starts with that. And I was like, you're tapping into childhood serotonin right there with the music in this movie. I mean, it's almost like music is never not playing because there's so much action.
It's we have to pay tribute to Mr. Giacchino. This is a name dropper. Michael Giacchino, the guy who did Lost.
By the way, for the Lost heads out there, of which I proudly count myself, two Lost alum in this. You got Dojin from season six makes a little appearance. But Michael Giacchino is one of the true great composers of our time.
Is he dead?
No, he's very alive. Oh. Every soundtrack he releases, he comes up with punny little names for each of the tracks. I encourage you all to listen. The music's incredible.
Almost all of the Pixar movies.
Mission
Impossible, the most recent ones. Ton of great shit. He's the man.
Oh, wow. Yeah, stacked resume. Can I ask a question? What year is this supposed to be?
I don't think there's
like 3,000.
Let's say 3,200.
Well, I mean, if it's the year 3,200, Ed Hardy prevails, because I saw some Ed Hardy shirts in there, and that means that our boy is back. our boy
is back. No, yes. Monica! Don't bring Ed Hardy from the grave. I know style is cyclical. Please, guys, for the future
I'm bringing it back. I'm gonna have a huge...
We'll do a
weirdly graphic tiger on my chest.
No. I won't allow it. Okay, sorry, Shannon.
We'll do a fashion guilty pleasures episode, and we'll all dress up in Ed Hardy for a month.
Please.
Ooh, no, absolutely not. Won't be there. Busy that week.
Well, my pleasures of, I mean, the list is never ending for this film. So we could continue with the pleasures forever. I'll just say that my other standout pleasure is just how long it is. I'm sure some people don't like that, but I remember the first time I watched the movie, it got to the Casa Cristo race, and
the
Huda?
Is that the one in the desert?
It's the big race in the middle in the desert.
Mad Max on Willy Wonka cocaine.
Yes, they go through the ice cave, all that. I remember thinking, like, I'm having the most fun I've had watching a movie in a very long time.
Of my life.
I am so sad this is going to be over soon.
Yes!
The race ended, and I was like, okay, they're going to tie up all the loose ends here. And then there's another race. There's a whole nother race. The movie just keeps going, and I've never been so delighted.
That was the second fucking act climax, bitch.
Yes.
That wasn't even the third act. I felt the same way, because I was like, oh God, I'm going to run late for this podcast. And I need to find out if that dead brother is a new man, or if the brother is alive or dead. Yeah. I'm so glad I also stuck around. Are there post-credit sequence? I didn't get to stay. Are they making a second one? I need to know this. I won't be able to sleep tonight.
They are not making a sequel. No. They wanted to. I know they wanted to, but there's no post-credit.
Missed opportunity, because they could have saved that one scene.
The monkey dances during the credits, and that's always a joy to see a monkey dance.
Just like the monkey, I think the mother and Christina Ricci's character could have not been in this entire movie and no one would have noticed, but that's probably,
Sarandon,
I should save that for my
so
guilt.
So good in this.
The monkey?
So is Christina.
I always saw them at the parents as like a pair, rather than like, oh, there's a dad, there's a mom. It's just like, I don't know.
And there's a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina Ricci clearly just plays his subconscious. She just plays an angel and a devil. And Listen, it was 2008. Now I'm a lot more forgiving. It was 2008. I was going to really rail into that.
2008 based off of something from the 60s. So you also have to think about that.
I, you know, despite her limited things to do, I thought they gave both of them very good scenes. Christina Ricci plays this with just the most adorable doe-eyed stare. And she has a moment where she gets to drive, which I mean, I'm the bar is very low here that I'm setting, but
congratulations. She gets to drive.
Like, not well either, right? She fucking is like fucking them up.
She did a great job.
She kills it.
They literally say in the beginning when she starts driving that she's like fucking them up, and she's like, it's because I can't see through these goggles. And I'm like, oh, okay.
But then she lifts them up and she was hitting those tight lines.
She's also doing the recon in the air in the helicopter. Helicopters are not easy to fly.
Well, fair.
One thing I think Christina Ricci deserves ultimate praise for, though, is pulling off the most impossible hairdo of all time, and she makes it look good. She has this, like, Kelsey, can you describe it? Because I can't.
It's an underflipped bob with bangs.
Okay.
I was going to say bob.
Chin length. Yeah, and she was made for that. I mean, we're talking like Casper days. That oval-ass, beautiful egg of a head. With those big ass, she's got two eggs on a bigger egg. Was made for an egg.
Her
head.
Eyes are
egg wig.
Fucking crazy, and you're staring at them the whole time.
Eggs.
And then you're just like, oh, her hair is, I guess, different. Okay, cool.
Wild.
It's very funny to me in the movie that he like barely wants to smooch her.
Right.
He's too dedicated to racing. She's like, are you going to kiss me at any point? And he's like, I'm thinking about racing.
Yeah.
You be
quiet. Yeah, it's a kid's movie.
That's
true. They give a parental warning before they kiss at the end, where the kid's like, all right, mom and dad, pause this part. It's a movie for everyone.
That's right.
By the way, we've talked about almost everyone except for our boy, Emil. He's so good. Just the boyish charm that he rocks Speed Racer with. I love him to death.
No, I'm taking his place. I'm sorry, but someone who whispers the entire movie doesn't get my respect for
anything. Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't get behind Speed in this one. He was like he was honestly, with such like vibrant characters surrounding him, he was a standout of just being pretty bland. But
here's the straight man.
Yeah, weirdly, I think he's... I've always thought he's like serviceable in this thing.
Thank you. I concur.
Which is not, which is like, I think the character himself, I enjoy his journey. But yeah, I don't think it's a very demanding. He's there mostly to absorb other people's support.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to tell me the opening scene when he's driving, trying to break his brother's record, and he has this determination in his eyes,
pretty good.
And he lets it go.
I'm
going to admit something, you guys. I cried. I teared up at the beginning of this movie.
That's like
six and a half minutes in. I choked up. I don't know why. I don't know what that says about what's going on in my life right now, but it hit me.
Got to say, as somebody who has tried to follow in their older brother's footsteps and failed.
You have an older brother?
I do. But older brother.
Is he single?
Is he a racer?
He's not
a
racer. He's an engineer. And I tried that and no. It is tough. He's probably one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life.
Was it you like reading a book about engineering, but next to you, your brother's ghost was reading the book about engineering?
I studied mechanical engineering for 2 years and then dropped out to do comedy.
Whoa,
so
I didn't know that.
There it is.
Wow, you're the Squirtle of your family.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a model of like, in this movie, Speed is trying to live up to his older brother, Rex, which, why did they give Rex and then Speed? You would have thought they would have thought Speed first, Rex second, but I digress.
That's strange.
He's dead when the movie starts, which I didn't catch because, again, for 20 minutes, you guys just stick with it, I promise. He died in what they want you to believe was an underground racing car crash
in the race that he was
the Casa Cristo,
the Conte Cristo, the rally.
Thank you. Yeah. That sounds like a sandwich.
I'm going to play a little voice memo that we got from Kelsey watching the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
We'll see. Okay, I had to pause this movie because I am 20 minutes in and I really need clarity so that I can watch the rest of this. So John Goodman is the dad, redhead lady's mom.
Yep.
They have one older son, one younger son who is now older, named Speed, and one who is named Rex, who's the oldest. And then they have this new kid that has a boy.
He's a new one.
What the fuck is going on?
I could not keep up with the family tree. Naturally sliding into guilt.
I'll say something that will segue us into guilt, because I've heard a lot of people poo-poo this character. Spritel, I think that kid is spectacular in this thing.
Thank you, Shane.
Young Speed is perhaps...
The worst actor I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know. Young Speed is a little rough.
Yeah.
The way he just like... the way he dead-eyed stares at Jason Street and says like, please, 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 please. It's very... It's odd.
My top note is... Child actor needs help.
But Spritel is great.
My nemesis, Ryan Bergara, sat down and watched this movie, and he was like, the child actor in that movie was so distractingly bad. And I was like, Young Speed is not very good. And he was like, no, the kid with the monkey. Like, and I was like, hold, I was like, hold your fucking tongue. That kid is great.
Oscar. Yeah.
Where is he now?
I don't know, but I can tell you this. He was in the motion picture Doubt, starring Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Adams.
So he's an actor.
Yeah,
he is an actor.
His batting average is crazy. He doesn't get up to hit a lot, but when he swings, home runs.
And there's a specific thing that he does in the movie that I kind of want to close it out before we wrap it all up. I'll talk about it.
The guilt will be so quick that it's we'll get back to lavishing some praise before.
You're going to put a pin in your praise.
Yeah, because I want to wrap it all up with on a high note, because I don't want to go out trashing this thing.
No, you don't. We give you a chance to defend it at the end.
OK, perfect.
Well, let's move on to the guilt.
Okay, I'll jump it. I'm going to start.
Kelsey's ready.
I'm ready because it's mainly my only guilt, but I think I have to cross it out because knowing now that it was made in 2008, I'm not going to say forgiving. I'm a little more aware that it's made in 2008, so I'm okay. But boy, do they drop an R word multiple times in this movie.
Do they?
Flashback scene of the little kids. And... I stopped folding my pants.
Yeah, it's a little wild how casual that was back then.
Oh, yeah, and they have like child actors saying it. I'm like, that little child actor didn't have a choice. She didn't know that she was saying that.
I forgot that happens in the movie.
Guilt. Yeah.
It's sort of in the background. It's slowed down because she's like, it's like a memory, but it stinks.
It's kind of like this for you, Shane, I have to imagine. It's kind of like finding out Bridgerton is incredibly racist for me last week.
I saw you guys discovering some things about that.
So much time really standing up for it. And then that just hot, one
racist show.
It's really just bringing it down.
It's not racist. It's just got some things. It's just got some things.
So yeah, that was my one. I can cross it out. Anyone else take the floor? I doubt there's many, but go ahead.
It's double-sided. The motion sickness is pretty, pretty great. I think that this was like, watching this movie was like the test for astronauts to test to see if they can take thrust. into orbit. You know that, like,
that's
in that
funny.
Little spinning gyro that they send astronauts in, Speed Racer is also playing.
Isn't that a sandwich too? Hero. Sorry, guys. My
I love the motion sickness because I have a PlayStation VR. One thing I often read is that people don't like a lot of VR games because they give them motion sickness. But I want to feel that. Like, I have a really strong stomach. So I try to find the most like visually abrasive games, and I turn off all of the comfort settings because they
Jesus, Shane.
I play these really intense racing games to just try and get that pit in my stomach, you know?
So just go ride a fucking wooden roller coaster or something.
No, it's too dangerous. I do that as well. But not from the comfort of my own home. You know, I want to be sick on my couch, you know? I don't want to be sick in public.
So I love it. I did watch this on a rather large screen. And again, like, you guys have to remember that this is not normal racing. This is not like...
This is speed racing.
Right. This is literally speed racing where the cars are Tokyo drifting 99% of the time that they're driving. Right. And like maybe, yeah, maybe playing into like another guilt for me was that scene where Big Dead Brother is teaching Little Brother how to drive and he's sitting on his lap, fucking like ear boning him. Like, you gotta put on the car.
Well,
little bro,
I've never quite read it that way.
Well, I'm sick in the head, so like that's how I was like, ooh, uncomfortable. I get that he's dead and we're trying to remember good times, but also, sir, that is a child. You are going 299 miles an hour with a child on your lap. Yeah. Is that safe?
I've got a couple I can drop for us.
Hit me.
So on the topic of Matthew Fox, this movie has one of the weirdest twist not twist endings ever, and it like plays this mystery that Rex is dead and then Racer X appears, but Racer X, that name doesn't sound anything like Rex, but he drives just like him, but he can't be him. But like, the movie's wanting you to think that when he takes off his mask, because Matthew Fox is wearing a mask the whole time, that's gonna be the same guy. We all know it's not the same guy, but we also know that it is the same guy. It is so telegraphed from the first minute of the movie. I'm not alone.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
It's almost a thing where like the entire movie you're like, well, we know, we know where this is going. Why do you think we don't?
It almost, frankly,
I give it a pass because when they do reveal him, the camera is so close to his face that you can see like the hairs on his nose, and it's I think the closest a camera has ever been to a face, and I think that's neat.
It's like cool that and the Ready Player One shot.
It's a plastic surgeried face, let's not forget.
Yeah, that's
because, Zach, if you want to explain, first of all, I still don't know why he faked his death. I still don't get it.
He was in deep with a lot of shady people, and he basically had to wipe his slate clean because it was starting to get dangerous for his family.
He was in the underground Mad Max racing world, and it got dangerous. So he had to reconstruct plastically his face and not tell his family.
And he said, make me look like Matthew Fox.
I mean,
give me that avian nose.
Let me fake my death too. Fuck. Yeah.
But they cast who is, you know, at the time, 2008, Lost is the biggest show on TV. They cast the lead actor. We know his face. We know his voice. But they still insist on covering the top of his face. And then later, there's a fight scene where someone breaks into his hotel room. He covers the bottom of his face. At which point, I'm full aware you are not the same face as Rex. You don't need to hide your face. I know that your face is different.
You're going to laugh. I thought it was Chris Evans the entire time.
No.
Oh.
It sounds... Play it back.
He does have a similar voice, actually. Similar timbre.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, oh, that's Captain America. Now that I know that this was made in 2008, I was like, why did they get that old Lost guy to fucking come out of retirement to play this dead brother / not dead brother? But why can't he tell his family he's alive? Too dangerous?
Because he's protecting them, Kelsey.
Because the people would come after his family and kill him or whatever.
Do you remember? I mean, do you remember when they sent a bomb into the garage?
That was another thing.
That was a guilt.
Okay, so that was a guilt. The bomb part. Yeah. I was like, yo, why did you blow up your little brother's go-kart? Just throw it out the window. We saw how light it was.
Instead, he
just
like
chuck it.
Doesn't he? He like snaps a mop in half and like shoves it onto the gas pedal.
MacGyvering for no reason. Rick, throw it.
I thought you were going to say your guilt was like, this is a children's movie and they start like the first 10 minutes of them trying to bomb a child. You were like, no, you didn't have to bomb your little brother.
Ever since I saw Up and how they just kill off one of like the most beloved love interests in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Yeah. And that's a kid's movie? Fuck off.
Like, is this considered a kid's movie? Do you guys
think? It's a great question. I have no idea who this movie is made for.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
We established it's everyone.
It's a film for everybody.
Is it rated G, PG, PG-13? What are we working with here?
I think it's PG. And I only suspect that because of
that smooch.
Perhaps the greatest line in the movie when Speed Racer yells, "Get that weak shit off my track."
Did you catch that?
Look it up on YouTube. There's a part where in the middle of a race he yells to someone, "Get that weak shit off my track," And that's it's awesome. Again, my movie. Nemesis Ryan Bergara was like, that is the worst line in the movie. And I believe the opposite. I think it's incredible.
Look, we firmly believe on this podcast that Ryan is wrong.
Yes.
And we'll say it to his face when he joins us. That is our motto here. It's rated PG. I didn't know you could say shit in a PG movie.
To bring up another guilt, is Speed Racer saying that get that weak shit off my track to the who we haven't spoken about? There's about six villains in this film,
a lot.
Which is one of my guilts. There's the main purple suit, big Ford Motors guy who's like
Royalton.
What a
hell
great
of a performance.
Name.
He's
There's
incredible.
Snake Oil, who it looks just like Nick Jonas if you look it up. He looks just like Nick Jonas. There's like six
What do you
dudes.
Have against Nick Jonas? God, that you would cast him as this
Nothing.
Terrible man.
I'm just saying, there's all the other racers that big purple royal guy tries to hire. Then there's question mark the inspector. What's his name?
Inspector Detector.
Exactly. Why wouldn't it be? That confirms this is a PG movie. Who like isn't a villain like Rex / Mask Matthew McConaughey?
He's
like,
a good guy. No, Inspector Detector is for the people.
Yeah, there was too many villains for me to keep up with.
The villainous plot in this movie, I kind of love because it's very, it's like boring. It's like saying that white collar crime and evil in general is boring and confusing and stupid.
And you go to jail for it.
And you go to jail for it.
Yeah.
And what's not boring and stupid is like being passionate about something.
Aww. It's being driven, not a driver.
That's sweet.
Because like at the beginning when they're talking about their philosophies about racing, or he's just like, well, he tells them this whole long story about blah, blah, blah. And he watched his race with his dad. And that's the only thing that brought them together after their brother died, after his brother died. And then he's like, so that's why you're the devil, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And then
he literally calls him the devil
to
his face.
And that was like,
I think you're,
wow.
Yeah. Yikes. Cold.
Bold. Also, and then he called him the devil to his face. And then the dude's response, Mr. Royalton's response, and that shock look that he gave Speed, it's just like, yeah, of course he's going to be mean to you after you called him the devil to his face. Like, he was like, sign this shit.
It is. It's a really like, it's a really great turn. He goes from like sort of like kind of rolling out the red carpet for him, and then his face just drops. And then they do that.
I'm like, who
they do that thing where the camera spins around.
You guys, I think I'm gonna watch this again tonight and make
you
watch it with me because like there's so much I feel like I missed.
Especially for a movie made for kids, it is challenging. And the way that exposition is set up, I think is so cool. So like you'll be in a scene, and then they're going to cut away from a scene to tell you something that happened that gives you context for that moment, and then you're right back in. And I think one of the best examples, you brought it up at the beginning, Garrick, someone in a fight scene knocks into John Goodman, it quickly whip-zooms into his fist and shows that he has a wrestling ring, and then whip-zooms out, and you're like, oh shit, I know his backstory now, and he beats the fuck out of that ninja. And it's like, that is such a cool way to tell a story, is like, we're not gonna do things in order as they happen, we're just gonna let you know when you need to know, and we're right back to it, baby.
Guys, we should really advocate for either like a reboot or a remake, because I really do think if we got this in front of the younger eyeballs, it would get the respect it deserves. And I had no idea that it didn't have respect.
It's getting more and more, but it still feels there's a local a movie club at the Los Feliz 3, which is a great, or the Vista Theater, sorry, which is near in Los Feliz. And they do like midnight movies. And the guy who runs it always asks people to like make suggestions and email him. And after I had gone to a couple, I emailed him. I was like, you know what you should do? Because I've never seen anyone rerun it, is to just put on Speed Racer, because people really love that movie and are recognizing it. And his email response, he was like, maybe we'll get around. And I was like, you,
how dare you,
fucking boomer.
You how dare you, sir?
I'm spamming his inbox tonight. I'm going to be hello. Writing as
so
your local friendly movie.
My life dream, when the pandemic is over, when the world opens up, if you live in LA, we're going to figure out how to have a Guilty Pleasures movie club.
Rent out a theater?
Yeah.
I would love that.
Absolutely. We're going to make this happen.
We
I have one
right
story
now.
To tell. I am a man who dabbles in hallucinogenic drugs.
You
I've done
do?
It.
You do?
Okay.
What? I have to leave this podcast.
Okay.
Right
now. How was that a shock to you, Kelsey?
We have not had that conversation.
I made the blessed choice / mistake of trying to watch this movie on one of those. And it was my friends and I screaming, going, oh my God, oh my God. Like my heart racing, couldn't handle it. Pause the movie 8 minutes in. It took us 12 hours to watch this movie because it is so just, it is unlike anything you will ever see. And frankly, that is, I guess, the ultimate pitch for this movie is that if you want to know what it's like to do drugs without doing them, just watch Speed Racer. You got it covered.
Can confirm the cocaine aspect of that.
Well, I've got some fun facts for you. And truly, the fun facts of this movie are fun because from what I can tell, this movie was in development for a long fucking time. So, and I'm just going to go back in time, peel the layers. So, Keanu Reeves turned down the role of Racer X. I think that makes sense. You know, the Wachowskis. I get it.
Yeah, right. Thank God, though. I would have seen this completely different if it was What's His Nuts.
Yeah.
He would have been good.
But you need to listen to this. Development goes back to the 90s on this movie.
Oh, stop.
So, you've also got in the late 2000s, you've got J.J. Abrams wrote a draft of this movie. At one point, Alfonso Cuarón was attached to direct this.
What?
Which is like, I don't even know what that would have been. I don't think I wanted that. For this iteration of the movie, you had Shia LaBeouf, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Zac Efron all considered for the role.
Zach would have been good.
Zach would have been real good.
I think Emil is better. I like his boyish charm.
I think Shia LaBeouf would have brought something crazy to the role, but I mean, that's...
There's similar issues with Emil that he's not a great guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, both coke addicts.
And Matthew Fox.
Corner.
This movie is trouble. Yes.
Well, don't worship celebrities, right?
Amen.
So going back to the 90s, the role of Racer X passed through many, many hands. So at one point, it was offered to Henry Rollins from Black Flag.
Oh my God.
Right? What the fuck is that?
I can see it. He's acted in some stuff. He would be, I can see it.
Yeah.
Look up Henry Rollins. You'll be like, cool. Even if you don't know who he is, you'll be like, that guy looks like he was in a band.
Look up Black Flag, Kelsey, and you'd be like, oh, I've seen that t-shirt. At one point in the 90s, Nick Cage was offered the role of Racer X.
Fuck.
Yes.
Imagine him delivering like, he's not going to be good. He's going to be the best.
Oh, no.
I could, honestly, now that you've done it, I could see it. I wouldn't be happy about it, but I could see it.
And then this is the one that broke my brain. In 2004, Vince Vaughn signed on to produce and planned to star as Racer X himself.
Oh.
Terrible.
Crummy.
That's Kelsey's
Speed, baby. You're so money, you don't even know your money. You're the best racer I've ever seen. I can't even believe. You're so good. Oh, God. God, this one's even crazier. Okay, so now at one point, you had a music video director named Julian Temple was attached to direct with Johnny Depp starring as Speed. They both hate that. We all hate that. But listen to this, Shane. I know you're going to love this. Gus Van Sant was offered the movie after that.
Well, this I want to see. I want to see it.
Even I know that is a big deal.
Just muted colors. So he chose to do Jerry instead.
It probably was like he was going to do it all in one take. And then they said no. And he's like, all right, I'll go make Elephant instead.
Yeah, just
the saddest fucking movie
ever. I cannot imagine that. Well, that's a good, I guess we dodged a lot of bullets there.
We sure did.
And ended up with
this
a perfect film,
version
thank God.
Of any iteration.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oof. Well, we're at the point of the show where we need to wrap it up. And this is the final word. We're going to decide, is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just a guilt? And really what we're trying to say here is, should you see this movie? I can kick us off if you'd like.
Yeah.
This movie is frankly, it's not a movie. It's an experience.
Yes.
If you come in expecting a film, you're not going to get one. You're going to get something so much more. And I really think like it's going to exhaust you. You are going to feel like you just did kickbox training for an hour. But looking at how this movie was received, how it was overlooked. Yeah, baby, I'm calling it a pleasure. And I'm not guilty about it at all.
I like that. I want to piggyback off of that. If you like Fast and Furious, which we know you do if you're listening to this podcast, if you like Mad Max, if you like,
which you should,
Willy Wonka, and listen, I've said it about 16 times on this podcast, if you liked cocaine or like it currently, you're gonna fucking love this film. Maybe even Adderall, Vyvanse. I don't know what you fucking crazy kids are into this day. I loved this. Went in hating it. First 20 minutes, never been flipped so hot like a pancake on a film in my entire life. Gotta give it up to Shane. Honestly, I don't think I would have stuck with it if it was anyone that I really didn't respect film and cinema wise beyond like these four people. Everything else was truly trash minute six and forward. But gotta give it a pleasure. Hands down, I'm gonna be masturbating to this later.
Just pleasure. 100% of pleasure. Because like even the storyline of the movie, everybody's like, oh, it's not coherent or whatever. It's a story. It's a straight up story. If you were to write this down, write down the synopsis, it hits all the beats, all of this wordy bullshit. And then at the end of the day, you just got off of a roller coaster. You just got off of a ride. Ooh, you literally just did one of those goofy. Anybody who didn't watch this movie or shat on this movie, and then also goes on like the Jurassic Park 4D ride at Universal Studios and wastes like 2 hours, you're a loser. You're a fucking loser. Just go home and watch Speed Racer, you idiot. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
I don't need a season pass to Universal. I just need Speed Racer on Blu-ray, baby.
That's what I'm saying. A cardboard box in your living room. Quarantine. Never had a better party in my life.
Shane, send us home.
In the past few years, I've really tried to step away from having like immediate reactions to things. I think it's nice to really let stuff sit with you. I feel like people are very like reactionary to movies, which sometimes works, but other times I feel like there's a lot of movies I've left recently where I'm like, I don't know about that. But then it sits with you and you meditate upon it and you come around to it. Or there's things that you think about like where you're like, oh, maybe that wasn't great. I watched Tenet recently and I was like, that is a garbage movie. And now I'm obsessed with it and I love it and I'm cracked. I ain't right up here. But there are certain movies that pack like such a visceral emotional punch that sort of grab you. And there is a sequence at the end of this movie that lasts like 3 to 4 minutes. It starts when he punches the gas in the final, like his car breaks down. He punches the gas. The thing starts to do like a big donut around the bowl. Yeah. Spritel stands up, and as you're watching it, you're thinking like, okay, here we go into the final leg of the race. Is he gonna win it? It's gonna be a nail biter. But then little Spritel stands up, and he just, and this is why I fucking love Spritel, because he says he's gonna do it. Then the race at that point, it's not even about the race.
No.
The music changes from this like bombastic tense track to this like emotive. Giacchino's just going for it. And it starts to, and again, this is another reason I'm bringing it back here, why I love the length of the film, because it starts to show scenes from earlier in the film, which now feels like 6.5 hours ago. And you look back on them wistfully. And it's not about like victory anymore. It's not about the race. He's meditating on all the people who have helped him get there. It's about like his passion for doing this thing.
Aww.
And I can rewatch that scene. If I watch the whole movie, I will cry at that point. I will every single goddamn time. It's a genuine cry. And if I watch it alone, like just isolated on YouTube, if I ever just want to feel emotions, it's instinctual. It's just inside. The movie destroys me every single time I watch it. And then it culminates in like the most visually insane shit I've seen in cinema. Like I heard on the Blank Check podcast, which I love dearly. Big if you haven't listened to it, it's great. But someone on there talked about when they saw it in theaters, and it gets to that moment where he crosses the finish line and the whole thing, like the checkers just wrap around and it becomes surrealistic. He's like driving over the track and it just blurs.
Yep. Cars explode.
It's fireworks. Like, I think they had said when they saw it, like the entire theater, everybody just stood up, which, which, and again, it just remains my greatest regret that I did not see it in theaters. But I think it is a masterpiece. And I think if you don't like it because of like a little bit of like kiddie stuff in the first act, if you are unable to watch this movie and acknowledge that it is like art, then I don't think you understand cinema.
Wow.
Bringing it home with the hardest,
let's go.
With the hardest pleasure we've ever had, I think, for an ending. I think, Shane,
I'm
that was
amped.
It.
I can't believe that Shane just went on this giant monologue to make me realize that every racing movie is just about Familia.
Familia.
We'll always say Familia.
Shane, thank you so much for joining us and, of course, for bringing this movie. It was a real treat and a pleasure. Where can the people find you?
Oh, you know, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm out there doing my puppets over on Watcher, youtube.com/Watcher. Yeah, find me. I'm around.
Yeah.
A true delight if you have not seen Puppet History, Shane Show. One of the better things on YouTube.
Yes.
Frankly, maybe someday we'll have the honor of discussing it here. Nothing guilty about it.
Nothing guilty. Yeah. You're like, it's great.
Thanks for having me. I'll come back sometime to talk about Speed Racers.
You mean when we reboot it and get it in a theater? Yeah, we got it.
Well, I want you to talk about your other favorite car-related films, Cars and Cars 2. So we'll get to
now those.
Someday.
Yeah, I'll come back.
Oh, I'm
I'll come back.
I'm ready to go to blows for that one. I'm ready to go to blows. People love to say that the Ka-Chow isn't the one.
Listen, that's actually a guilty pleasure. Yeah,
you're already in a neck brace, Rick. Don't say you want
to
fight.
I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight anybody that says Cars isn't fucking brilliant. Get the fuck out of my face. Anyway.
Kelsey, where can they find you?
You can find me at Kelsey Darrow on all the things. Don't forget to check out JusticeForSaraya.com. Bye.
Oh, Garrick. Garrick Bernard. On Instagram, and I'm gonna just be high for the rest of the day.
Go take a nap.
We love him.
I'm at Corn Diddy. Tell your friends about the show. Leave us 5 stars. All that good stuff. Let us know what you thought about this movie. Let us know what other movies you want to see covered on the show. And until next time, this has been Guilty Pleasures, the greatest show of all time. Join us next week as we dive into all 4 gloriously moody hours of Zack Snyder's Justice League, #The Snyder Cut.